Carlos Santana. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Where are you right now?
I am in San Rafael, California.
Oh, so you got yourself a little cross-country trip to make it here for the show.
Yeah.
And you're also opening for the Stones, too.
That's right.
How did that come about?
Well, we're very grateful. I guess we've been doing this for the last, this is our 12th time. The first time we did it in Altamont, and then we did it in 73 for the benefit for Nicaragua earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did it in Day in the Green, like in the 70s, 76, 77, in Pontiac, Michigan in 81. So this is, you know, this has been a... I just feel really grateful, you know, for the opportunity.
And kind of hanging around old buddies.
Yeah, you know, we're you can call us veterans now.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing this for a while, and it feels good because it keeps getting better and better, like wine.
But when you put your arm around Keith Richards, is it like hugging a bag of bones?
No, you know, it's kind of like hugging an institution like Chuck Berry or someone.
That's
like
true.
That. You know, I mean, people who. You know, as soon as you hear that riff, you know, Start Me Up, and you hear it coming out of his body, you know, I just feel really happy, you know, and grateful that I get to know people at this caliber, because he, like Jeff Beck or Jimmy Page or Eric Clapton, you know, and Jimi Hendrix, they have a serious foundation for a lot of generations, not just for the 60s generation.
Sure. You know? You're so very complimentary to them, but, I mean, you yourself are right there with them. You're one of their contemporaries. And congratulations, by the way. It's about time that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recognized you after inducting people for 11 years. You're getting in.
Well, I feel really honored and very grateful.
Yeah, and you mentioned talking about some of the great guitar players. How does someone of your stature feel when the record companies bring along a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old, and say they're the greatest guitar player on the planet and hype them, and it's all based on looks. A couple of guys that pick up a couple of Stevie Ray licks, and all of a sudden they're the hot thing. How does that make somebody like you feel?
Well, you know, they said the same thing about me. No, not really. No, I actually feel if they and through time, like Stevie Ray, you know, because Stevie Ray and Jimmy and all of us, you know, we started listening to the original blues players, whether it's Muddy Waters or Robert Johnson, you know, and Muddy Waters and Buddy Guy, all these people, they listen to other people also. You know, we all really come from three guitar players, Django Reinhardt, Charlie Christian, and Lonnie Johnson. Those are the three. And then from them, but I think it was T-Bone Walker who invented the shoe, and then everybody else created a style. When I say that, I think it was T-Bone Walker that Chuck Berry, and then, you know, all the Chicago players.
Especially B.B.
Exactly. Everybody wanted to, because I think it was T-Bone Walker who made the guitar, instead of being like a background rhythm thing behind a singer, he started playing lead guitar. And so all of us are very grateful. So, you know, to go back to what you were asking me, I feel that as long as there's new guitar players, they maintain a consistency with honoring the music.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened to Stevie Ray. You know, Stevie Ray didn't have an identification for a long time. He sounded like Albert King, Albert Collins, and Jimi Hendrix. And not till about 2 years before he passed that he sounded like Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know what I mean? At first, you used to say, well, you know, it sounds like a white guy playing Albert King. And, you know, and that's how he sounded like. But
yeah, but I think there was a big difference with him. You could tell from the beginning and that there was something special about him. And his playing definitely got better as time went on and more inventive. But from the outset, you could tell that this guy was a special player, where I don't see that with a lot of these new guys.
Well, you know, how old are they? They you know, you have to...
But they're getting the big, Carlos, they're getting the big record deals. I know for a fact, you know, they got this 15-year-old guitar prodigies. I know for a fact when you were 13, you were playing at a strip joint.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun.
I mean, you didn't have no big record deal.
Fame. You know, to me, the real experience is in the streets and places like that. Because
yeah.
You learn, real music, you learn from how a woman walks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she, a sassy woman has a certain way that she carries herself. And real musicians say, I can put that to a song. So when you play it, all the women of the world say, hey, I identify with the way you play because we walk like that. So it's not, we all learn from life, you know. And as far as this new young people, young persons who they're learning, I'll give them, I'm willing to give them like 5-10 more years for them to make their own wine. In the meantime, at least I'm happy that they're honoring the blues, whether they're white or pink or whatever, you know, because there's so many like heavy metal players that I'd rather hear a bad white person playing the blues than a white person playing nothing but fast licks that has no depth or deepness to it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'd rather go for, you know, people who learn from Stevie Ray Vaughan or Jimi Hendrix than another Joe Satriani clone, which I love Joe Satriani.
Oh, come on now. Be honest.
But I think that it's important to realize that the real wine comes from the blues.
Right.
You know, I mean, Miles Davis to me was special because out of 50,000 notes, he would compress them into like 5. But those 5, everyone would surrender to it.
And you know,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Carlos. What I was going to say is you've had the opportunity to work with one of the greats, one of the original masters, John Lee Hooker, and you've done some tremendous work with him, especially Chill Out. I love that.
It's a real joy, you know. For me, the real, what you call having your cake and eating it too, is to be able to, I always, since I was a child, like this young people who are playing, I always dreamed to play with B.B. King and John Lee Hooker and Miles Davis and Wayne Shorter and McCoy Tyner. And that's how, that keeps on happening. So this is to me my payoff is to be accepted by all kinds of musicians, Ry Cooder or African musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, Carlos Santana is not a tourist, you know, and anywhere in the world. I can go to Africa and people invite me to play because they know I'm not going to like take their music and exploit it. I'm going to explore it with just like they're exploring, because in actuality music is a sensation of feelings and colors. They belong to all men as long as you play it from your heart. And then it makes it fun. Then you can go to Jerusalem or Japan, and Palestinians and Hebrews going to dance together. They're not going to fight for 2 hours.
You know, Carlos, you reading it, some of the articles that have been done on you, some of the interviews that I've read, you're my hat's off to you. You are such a principled man. And one point I read, I believe President Clinton invited you and or your band to play on 2 occasions. You turned them down.
Right, and I will continue to turn him down. Not him personally. It's just that when he invited me to go and play in South America, they were having a meeting of the presidents in South America. And, you know, I can't play one note for people who, like, are still dictators over there and they mutilate American Indian, Mexican Indians. And you know, I can't play for those people. I can't play one note. It won't come out. Now, if I play for Clinton and Ted Turner and they're doing something to help the conditions in the United States and around the world with housing, I play for free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when they asked me to play for the president of Mexico, and I can't play one note for him also because he's a puppet bought out by rich people, and they just rich people keep. There's only like 30 people who are cacasillionaires, you know, mm-hmm. And then they buy all this it's kind of like the movie The Waterfront. They buy all these hoods and hoodlums to keep the other people, you know, to keep the people poor and ignorant. So I can't play for those people like that. I have to play for people. If he invites me, you know, or Ted Turner would invite me to play for the benefit of children around the world, man, I pay for it.
Sure.
I pay for free.
Sure.
You know, so it's only in principle that I don't go there. It's not for any other reason that I can't support people who exploit people.
I don't know how well you've been briefed about your show with us this Saturday, but it is. We do this. This is the 11th year we've done this, and as we get to the holidays, big important time for the homeless in our area, and we ask everyone going to the concert to bring a non-perishable food donation the night of the show to benefit the Harry Chapin Food Bank of Southwest Florida. They supply families, needy families and children, and just agencies all over Southwest Florida with food to help people that are homeless or that that need some help. So we really appreciate you coming down here and helping us out this year.
You know, I first of all, I want to congratulate you and I salute you because this is a great work. You know, to we're all here to serve humanity, to serve one another, you know, and that is what makes people grand. That's when you feel good about yourself. If you and I would only do things only for you and for me, we wouldn't get out of bed, you know?
Right.
So when we do things for other people, this is where you get the joy, the inspiration, the passion, and the motivation. And that's where real creativity comes. So I salute you for doing this thing for other people. And believe me, you know, your immediate family will also benefit because we're creating, I guess what they call it nowadays, karma, you know? And so I salute you and I congratulate you because you're doing what people would call spiritual work.
Thank you. Would you be open to take just a couple of calls here? We got a few minutes. Would you take some calls? 277 or 775-9600 or on the GTE Mobile Net Digital Network, 96 Star Send. If you'd like to speak with Carlos Santana, his band, and Carlos himself, going to be at the Lee County Sports Complex this Saturday night, 6 p.m., along with Jackal and former Bad Company lead singer Brian Howe for our 11th annual birthday bash. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Yeah, I was just wondering what kind of music Mr. Santana listens to on the radio.
I listen to anything from Whitney Houston to Metallica. You know, I like anything that's current. I have a 12-year-old daughter who she always got the dial on you know, the Pulse of today and the Fugees. Anything that's from the heart. I don't have any distance from commerciality because I think the most commercial music is still Nat King Cole, you know, Unforgettable or Mona Lisa or things like that.
See, so, Haney and I love your Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis.
Exactly, Sinatra or Prince. To me, it's all the same as long as it's coming from the heart. It's you know, there's nothing more commercial than chocolates and flowers, you know, because we're all lovers and we need to keep our lovers, you know, enthused, you know.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Just wanted to say hi and ask if I could get your autograph when you play. Are you going to sign any?
Sure. I'll definitely make myself available, and thanks for calling.
All right, let's grab another call.
Carlos, you're not a big Spice Girls fan, are you?
You know, I've seen a lot of groups like that come and go, but a lot of times a certain thing remains. For example, like Diana Ross and the Supremes, you know, they were like the first ones.
Yeah, they were the original Spice Girls.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as the song is catchy and it's got some kind of significance, I don't care, you know. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Spice Girl?
Yeah, the chocolate one.
Hello, you're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's an honor to talk to you, my brother.
Oh, likewise.
Who's in the band nowadays?
Yeah, tell us about the band.
Thank you for that question. Right now is C.T. Chester Thompson. He was original from Tower of Power, of course. Raul Rico, he plays congas, and he was with Malo, and he's been with me since 76. Benny Reedfield, he played with Prince, Sheila E., and Miles Davis for about 4 or 5 years. Tony Lindsay, he plays with Narda Michael Walden, and he has recorded albums with Aretha Franklin and people like that, backgrounds for her. Let's see who else. We got a brand new drummer named Rodney Holmes. He was with us for about a year, and he's back again. He just last toured with Wayne Shorter. Carl Parasso, he also played with Sheila E. and Prince. And it's pretty much like that.
Do you ever forget the names of the people who are in your band sometime?
No. Fortunately, my brain is still working. I'm 50 years old, but it hasn't gotten senile on me yet.
K-Rock, hello. You're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yourself?
Carlos, I just want to ask you one question, man. I'm a guitarist, and I've been trying real hard to, you know, make it to the top. I just want to know if it's easier to play when you're stoned or before you eat burritos and tacos.
you know, all of it is important. As long as you close your eyes and feel a string between your eyes and your heart, and when you can grab that string, then start playing. And that way it don't matter whether you eat spaghetti or cornflakes or tacos. You know? That's just fuel anyway. What I'm saying is that you get to the top by playing strictly from your heart where you're not even thinking about it. As the Grateful Dead call it, when music plays you, when you're not playing the music, it plays you. So as long as you take some time to meditate, go inside your heart, then you're right there from the same well that Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray and everybody are. We all pray from the heart, and that's when it's the best.
You know another thing, though, when you say that it just comes naturally to you, do you still, a man of your stature, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, before you go on stage, do you still get a little bit nervous?
No, not anymore. In the 60s and 70s, I used to drink a lot of, bromo seltzer to calm down my stomach because it was, seriously fear. But now, I really made a commitment a long time ago to embrace the concept that people are flowers, music is the water, and I'm a hose. You know what I'm saying? And I really believe that. So I don't have the pressure of creating the water. Just let it flow.
Right.
That's the only time I've ever heard anyone refer to themselves as a hose and have it come off sounding right.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, all of us, whether you're an artist or a disc jockey, whatever. You know, the best is when it flows through you, you know.
So could you say,
not, creating
could
it.
You say at one, that I am a hose to the community here of Southwest Florida?
Yeah.
Stan, I've always believed you're a hose.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Hi. I was just wanting to tell you that I have admired you for many, many years, and I am so looking forward to Saturday.
Oh, thank you. Please do my best to your family, and thank you for listening.
Oh, you're just wonderful. Just wonderful. I can't wait till Saturday.
Oh, me too.
We'll see you there.
Okie dokie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, there's a lot of people that are really excited about you coming to town, Carlos, and I'm one of them. I mean,
I hope to see you there, truly.
Well, you'll see me backstage. I'll be good. The one probably, you know, just causing all kinds of trouble, getting people mad. And
good.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Great. Hi. Outstanding. Hey, Carlos.
Hi.
Welcome to Florida.
Thank you so much.
I'm extremely happy to see you guys come down here.
I'm very happy to be
of service. High school band, Cape Coral, played Oye Como Va.
Okay.
At halftime for a percussion feature. So we thought about you this year.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, they're with the high school band, Carlos.
Cape Coral High School Band. They did that
beautiful.
Just for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Sorry, I cut them off there a little bit because we got to get through a couple more of these calls here, Carlos.
Okay.
K-Rock, hello. You're on the air with Carlos Santana.
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, what's up, Carlos? Great to talk to you, man. How you doing?
Fine, thinking. Yourself?
Oh, excellent. Just wanted to ask you a quick question. I had a chance to see you out in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I really enjoyed the performance, and I love the tuned tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan, Somewhere in Heaven. I really was moved by that. I'm a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan myself. And I'll hang up and listen to what your answer is about that call, but I also want to know what your opinion is of the beautiful Wasatch Mountains in Utah. Thanks, Carlos.
I just feel really, really grateful to have known the man. You know, we really hung out. Actually, we played one time in Irvine Meadows, and it was the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Santana, and man, it ain't easy following him, you know, but especially when it's his birthday. It was his birthday. You know, when people have their birthday, your soul is like the sun, is very luminous. But we held our ground, and he was very gracious. I just want to go back a little bit for a second and do say that I do admire Stevie Vai and Joe Satriani. We're friends. We're from the Bay Area. So I wasn't trying to put any, you know, throw any mud on anybody.
I know
like
you
that.
Were.
I just want to put in context the fact that it is sometimes it's more important to say I love you than just a bunch of words. Just say I love you, you know, and that's what blues players like Buddy Guy and Otis Rush do.
You know, as long as we're talking about Stevie Ray and we're talking about karma and all the spiritual aspects, doesn't it seem just a little sad that Stevie Ray died right at the point that he'd really gotten his life in order?
Yeah, especially because I think that he and his wife, man, were to the point of, you know, starting a family, you know, and cooling it with the touring.
And he and his brother had finally had their dream come true to do the record together?
Yeah, you know, my face just breaks down, you know, and I start crying, you know, because I was invited to his family in 88, Stevie Ray and his brother Jimmy. They took me to his house to meet his mom and dad, and I, you know, I sat on the table, and his mom served for us, and to really feel the love and oneness that family had, you know, it really breaks my heart, man. Because you know, when he left, a big chunk of us left with him, you know, just like with Bill Graham or Jimi Hendrix, you know, some people are bigger than music. Like, for example, Michael Jordan is bigger than basketball, and Emmitt Smith is bigger than football. You know, and Stevie Ray was bigger than that, you know. And but fortunately, I do have faith in some of these new young people who, if they listen to Stevie Ray, you know, at first it's okay to become like a parrot and repeat their stuff, but after a while, the more you keep saying it, then you enter into the same room that Stevie Ray entered. And I have hope for these young people. I don't care whether they're black, white, blonde, or pink, or whatever. As long as they're passionate and sincere about it, then it's another soldier in the field of transforming this planet from ugliness to beauty. And that's really how the way I look at it.
Before we let you go, Carlos, can you elaborate a little bit more on working with John Lee Hooker? Because he tends to keep his own time, which can be totally different from what the rest of the band is doing. What is that like to groove to?
Well, I only know very few musicians to really actually play with John and not put their foot in their mouth, you know. And that's like Ry Cooder and myself and a few others, you know. Most people, when they play with John, they don't know when or where to play, because the holes that he leaves him for a purpose. And so you have to, like, listen to him almost with ears. You got to listen to it with another ear kind of thing, you know. But I have so many great stories about John. You know, one time he called me, and it was his birthday, and he called me at home, and you know, he stutters. You know, this is where Van Morrison got that, I want to drink water, you know, that even Van Morrison's copies the imitates the way he stutters, you know, and his singing. But anyway, he calls me up, and he says, Carlos. And I said, John, you know, how you doing? And he says, man, he says, when I listen to your voice on my birthday, he says, it's like eating a big piece of chocolate cake. You know? Now, you know, what do you say to that, man? I mean, I feel like I just won all the awards ever, you know, when somebody like John Lee Hooker tells you that kind of stuff, you know. So I love him, and I want to record, and I wrote another song for him. Hopefully we can record it pretty soon. It's called I Love the Way She Shimmy. And I told him, John, I wrote another song for you. It's called I Love the Way She Shimmy. And right on the spot, man, he rolls his eyes up to heaven. He started making the lyrics. I love the way she shimmy. She shimmy all night long. Come here, baby. You know, and he just for about half an hour, he started making all these lyrics.
That's got to be almost surreal, though.
Yeah, it's like hanging around with Dolly or, you know, Picasso or something like that, you know.
We're gonna, you know, once we get done here, we got to take a break, and then we're gonna play Chill Out from John Lee Hooker's album of the same name, where you and he co-wrote that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very grateful, man. Thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you so
it.
Much. We're gonna see you Saturday night, 6 p.m. Lee County Sports Complex, and it's our 11th annual birthday bash to benefit the Harry Chapin Food Bank of Southwest Florida. Thank you for your time, Carlos.
Thank you,
and we'll see you Saturday.
Take care. God bless your family.
Bye bye. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.